Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Across the continent, there are places where too often fear prevails. From Mali to Mogadishu, senseless terrorism all too often perverts the meaning of Islam, one of the world's great religions.
It's not me who's creating the slippery slope. Those who are rejecting a male-female requirement to marriage are providing all the grease for that slippery slope.
The church needs men with hair on their chest.
Our greatest enemy is not our inability to keep the Ten Commandments or our inability of a good moral life. God is not a moralist.
Indiana truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Well, the wheels of the government's regulatory agencies turn very slowly. One of the biggest concerns we have is not the speed with which they turn, but the direction that they are turning. And the Health and Human Services has been a particular thorn in the side of advocates for religious liberty lately, and they have turned one more click of their wheel. They say the final of the HHS mandates have come out with regard to abortion drugs and insurance coverage and things like that. Are those wheels turning in the right or the wrong direction, especially when it comes to religious liberty and the liberty of nonprofit religious employers, of self-insured religious groups, of religious business owners? Also, Hobby Lobby appears to be having some good turn of fortune in the courts. We'll find out about that here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Monday afternoon, the 1st of July, and welcome to the program. We're going to be talking with Lori Windham of the Beckett Fund for the first few minutes of the program. After that, we're going to do a forensic examination of Christian truth claims with J. Warner Wallace, who is a 12-year veteran of cold case homicide detective work in Southern California and author of the new book, Cold Case Christianity, A Homicide Detective Investigates the Claims of the Gospels. A little bit later after that, in hour two, Robert Spencer will join us. The horrific story of the beheading of a Catholic priest by Syrian refugees and rebels and violence erupting in Egypt will be the subject of our conversation with him. Then we're going to round off everything today on this Monday afternoon. Pastor Tom Baker will join us to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll be in 2 Kings chapter 22, the case of King Josiah, young King Josiah, and the recovery of the Scroll of the Covenant there in 2 Kings in the Old Testament. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Lori Windham is Senior Counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty based in Washington, D.C. Lori, welcome to Issues Etc.
Todd, thank you for having me on.
These latest and said to be final rulings of the HHS mandate, are they a step forward or backward for advocates of religious liberty?
They're a step backward, Todd. This is just more of the same from the administration. They have said all along that they're going to try and accommodate religious groups, but all they're really doing is trying to create some sort of technicality around these groups' religious beliefs and consciences. My clients and these religious groups aren't interested in technicalities. What they want is their rights under our Constitution and under our laws, and that's what the administration is bent on not giving them.
Now, let's talk a bit about the connection between these rulings over the course of time. This is just the last of many, or the last of a series. Make the case that these are, in fact, impactful for religious liberty, because the advocates of the rulings say they do not impinge upon religious liberty.
You know, I think that's what's so disturbing, is that they have decided that they can tell religious groups what their religious beliefs are. They've decided that they can put out this rule and say, hey, this should be fine with you. We think it's okay, so you need to think it's okay, too. What's even more disturbing when it comes to religious business owners is they have said, we don't have to accommodate you at all. The law doesn't even recognize that you could have a religious freedom interest in how you run your business, how you go about making a living. And so they've been fighting these tooth and nail in court, and they have been losing.
What do you think, if someone were saying, look, I'm just getting in on this story, I am concerned about my religious liberty, how would you describe what HHS has been saying to religious employers, religious organizations, for about a year and a half now?
What they've been saying is that religious organizations who serve the public are second-class citizens. They've said that churches, all right, will give you some kind of protection. Religious organizations who reach out their hands, who serve the public, who are religious colleges and universities and other kinds of social service agencies and ministries, they're not entitled to full rights under our Constitution or under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. They're only entitled to some form of limited accommodation that the government grants and the government can take away. And religious business owners and private religious individuals who are out there trying to earn a living, well, they're not entitled to any religious freedom at all in how they go about their business.
Someone who wants to, as a religious business owner or one of those categories, say, look, I am not going to abide by this, what do they face by way of penalty?
They face two different penalties. There's $2,000 per employee per year if they decide not to have health insurance at all. And then there's $100 per employee per day if they decide that they are going to try and offer health insurance to their employees, give them good benefits, but simply exclude abortion-causing drugs or contraceptives. And so those fines can very quickly add up to hundreds of thousands, even millions and hundreds of millions of dollars, depending on the size of your business.
How does this story, the latest story about Hobby Lobby, that a religious employer nationwide that has been in court several times, how does that story fit into this larger story of religious liberty and the HHS mandate?
You know, I thought it was pretty astounding. I was reading the rule, and they said this was issued on Friday morning, and they said there is no court case saying that we have to accommodate religious business owners. Well, Thursday afternoon, 24 hours before this came out, the Court of Appeals, 10th Circuit in Denver, had come down and said, yes, you do have to accommodate religious business owners. And so I thought it was pretty striking that those two things came down at the same time.
And Hobby Lobby, this isn't the first of their victories, is it?
This is the first victory they've had, and it is a huge one. They had tried to get protection from the HHS mandate from a district court. They didn't get that. They tried to get it from the appeals court and weren't able to get it on an emergency basis. But then the entire 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, eight judges all sitting together in a very unusual procedure, came together to decide this case, and they decided that Hobby Lobby was entitled to have its religious freedom protected. And so Friday afternoon, for the first time, Oklahoma judge issued an order to protect them and to stop the fines that would have started accruing today.
How significant is that, not only for Hobby Lobby, but for other religious employers?
We think this is an incredibly important opinion. This is the first appeals decision in the nation saying what people's rights are under the HHS mandate. And because it was done with the entire Court of Appeals and all the judges, that means that it carries extra weight. And so we think the other appeals courts, there are four other appeals courts looking at this issue right now. We think that they are going to be very interested to see what the 10th Circuit has done. And there's going to be pressure on them to follow the lead of what this first court has done. So we think it's a very good development for religious businesses like Hobby Lobby and also for churches and religious organizations who are worried about the impact of the mandate. If a religious business owner has religious freedom, has protection from this mandate, then it certainly makes sense that a religious college or university or ministry should have protection from this mandate.
Is this, in essence, kind of a door slightly ajar for other organizations to say in different jurisdictions, we are going to challenge it as well, we are going to assert our rights of religious freedom over against the HHS mandate?
I think that's exactly right, and I think that it will be a powerful precedent in their favor.
Does it stay here, or is it likely to be pressed beyond the 10th Circuit?
I think this issue is likely to end up in the Supreme Court. You know, I don't know if it'll be Hobby Lobby's case or one of the others that is currently pending in the courts of appeal, but, you know, as a lawyer, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this, where you have so many different appeals courts deciding the same issue at the same time, and that's really a recipe for Supreme Court involvement, so I think we're likely to see it there probably next term.
Is this the only recourse that religious employers or religious organizations have in the face of the HHS mandate?
You know, right now it is, and I'm sorry to say that. There have been attempts to pass legislation through Congress, but they haven't gone very far, and of course, the president is likely to veto them if they go there. Hundreds of thousands of people have appealed to HHS on this mandate. As you said, there have been several different steps in this. There were, I believe, over 200,000 comments on the first mandate, and then there were tens and hundreds of thousands more on the second version of it, and then the third version even more. And so, you know, I think it's really disturbing and really troubling that so many American citizens have made their voices known to HHS and told them this is a problem, and yet the administration has still dug in its heels and refused to truly accommodate religious organizations.
So with about a minute and in a nutshell, what does the HHS mandate do as of today that religious employers and religious organizations do and should find so burdensome? About a minute.
What it does for religious business owners, it says you have to cover all FDA-approved contraceptives, including abortion-causing emergency contraceptives, and there are no options for you. For other religious organizations, it says that you have to cooperate with your insurance company to make it possible for your insurance company to provide these drugs to your employees, even if that goes against your most important and sincere religious beliefs. And that's something that all religious organizations should be afraid of. If the government has the power to do this and trample our religious liberties in that way, what doesn't it have the power to do?
Lori Windham is Senior Counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, based in Washington, D.C. You can find out more about the Beckett Fund at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Lori, thank you very much for your time.
Todd, thank you for having me on.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time, actually going to spend the remainder of this hour with J. Warner Wallace. He has written a new book called Cold Case Christianity. He is a 12-year veteran of cold case homicide cases in Southern California and a speaker for Stand to Reason. He takes his forensic skills, his abductive reasoning skills, his ability to distinguish evidence from just assertions, and he has actually applied it to the evidence, to the testimony of the New Testament Gospels. We'll do that with him on the other side of this break. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, July the 1st. This is Issues Etc. Stay tuned.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Can God save people any way he wants? Is Jesus the only way we know of? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. Journal titled, What God Cannot Do. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. Journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor John Fraser details his journey from the subjective introspection of decision theology to the objective saving work of Jesus. The online Issues Etc. Journal.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at OurSaviorsPacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.